Welcome to KBPS on PRP, a show featuring local news, music, and conversations produced by students from AM 1450 KBPS, the Portland Public School radio station. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP with your FM dial tuned to 99.1. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station closely tuned into Portland. On the FM dial at 99.1 in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. KBPS on PRP, a new hour-long show featuring KBPS students on Portland Radio Project. Starting us off with our first piece of student content, we had the wonderful opportunity to interview Oregon Senator Ron Wyden on KBPS. Ron Wyden has been Oregon Senator since 1996, and this interview has been a year in the making. Alongside my interview partner, Vinny, we asked questions on topics from climate change to taxes. Here's that interview of KBPS students and Senator Ron Wyden on KBPS for the Portland Radio Project.
You're listening to KBPS in Portland, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. My name's Joe, alongside my peer, my cohort, my wonderful on-air partner.
No need to talk me up so much.
You were in the Senate. You know, my wonderful so-and-so.
And alongside U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, we've got an amazing interview planned for you today. Ron Wyden, thank you so much for coming here to KBPS to be with us for this interview. It's really special to us to be able to get senators like you here. So with that being said, let's just jump right on into our interview. Senator Wyden, you've been in office since 1996. What would you say your largest legislative victories have been? What did it take to get them into law? And are there any you might be a bit disappointed you feel were watered down by compromise? And if so, which ones?
Probably the biggest took place recently. And I wrote the law authorizing the biggest investment in fighting climate change in American history. And this is your generation, guys. We remember what it's been like the last few summers, you know, going out and it's 100 degrees, 110 degrees, and the like. It's terrible for everybody's health, you know, seniors, people who are having difficulty breathing. And there's been gridlock on climate for more than two decades. And I wrote the law to break the gridlock. In fact, over the years, there have been debates about carbon taxes. There have been debates about what's called cap and trade. There have been debates about more regulation. And, you know, I had a pretty good sense none of it was going anywhere. And so after the last time things failed, Joe Manchin, you probably heard that name, invited me to come to West Virginia. And I tried out on him a new idea. And I said, Joe, I'm chairman of the tax writing committee. And we've got all these tax incentives. And most of them are relics from yesteryear, from years and years before you guys were born. I said, I'd like to kind of throw them in the garbage can. And in effect, come up with something that's technology neutral so that it'd be science driven. And we'd also say the more you reduce carbon, the bigger your tax savings. It passed. It's been signed into law, and I think it gives us a chance to move really boldly on solar and wind and geothermal. Electric vehicles, I think they'll be very popular with your generation. Again, the prospect for real transformation in terms of particularly our public health and protecting our treasures.
That was the Inflation Reduction Act, correct?
That was a key part. In fact, most of the big provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act were written in our committee. We also, for the first time, the consumer beat Big Pharma. You know, people go to Fred Meyer or Safeway or wherever they get their medicine. They feel like they're getting mugged. And as you know, a lot of students and a lot of young people, for example, are already caught up with diabetes. They're getting clobbered with the price of insulin. And so we wrote the law that for the first time with Medicare for older people, and now it'll get, I think, when people see it, it will apply to other age groups asking for the same thing. We're saying that we're going to cap it, insulin, at $35 a month out of pocket, and also for the first time, Medicare is going to start negotiating to hold down the cost of medicine for cancer drugs, arthritis drugs, that kind of thing. And we beefed up tax law so that wealthy tax cheats couldn't cheat on the rules. You know, if you're a student or one of your parents, you're a firefighter or a nurse or a teacher, you pay tax with every paycheck. Not the way it works for the big guys. So I think these laws are really going to be an important step forward. And also the technology laws that I wrote over the years have been really important for your generation as well.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned electric vehicles. So that actually moves us right into our next little topic, and that is transportation. So do you support expanding use of federal funds to better this nation's public transportation network?
Absolutely. And as part of these bills, we've been able, through the budget process, to get additional help for TriMet and other kinds of transportation services. The key word in transportation, of course, is choice. And I think people are going to take those environmentally sound choices because they're actually going to be more affordable with laws like the one I just mentioned, the Clean Energy for America bill, where we got 90% of what we wanted in our legislation.
Further, do you support a federally backed transportation movement away from a car-oriented infrastructure and development like freeways cutting right through urban centers, or do you think that it would be better to have more walkable?
We've already begun that effort, Senator Merkley and I, in Northeast Portland with efforts to protect the community. As you know, they've been forced to make some very difficult choices over the years, and you bet we definitely want alternatives to freeways, and the cap over the freeway as well is going to help.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Those are my two little segments just starting us off.
Those aren't little. They talk about transportation and climate. That's your generation. We gotta get going.
Absolutely.
Send it over to Vinny.
Yeah, those are hugely important parts of the legislature. We're looking forward to seeing you propose, and having seen you propose previously. And another one of those pieces of legislation that you proposed last year, which I don't believe got passed, was your Billionaire Tax Act. I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure.
And what inspired you to propose
it. We'll be back, because I think people understand what this is about is fairness. If you're a firefighter or a nurse, you pay taxes with every single paycheck. A lot of the billionaires can go for years on end paying little or nothing in taxes. And that's because, to a great extent, and the economic theory is called buy, borrow, and die. If they have a lot of money, they can buy something, they can borrow against it. They can, for example, go to a bank and say, I want to have a terrific lifestyle. I want to have 3-4 homes. I want to travel, get very low interest loans. And you can, to a great extent, do that and pay little or no taxes until you die. So I think it comes down to fairness. I think one of the questions one of your students asked, and we were, might as well bring it up now, is, you know, about the Bush tax cuts. And the Bush tax cuts were all about giving breaks to the people at the top. And a lot of those people, rather than making investments, would, you know, hang on to their money. And as I said, if they were billionaires, they could, to a great extent, live off their borrowings with their holdings. That's not the way it is with a firefighter or nurse. I believe you grow the economy from the middle out. That's how you grow the economy. And that's my philosophy as chairman of the Finance Committee.
I wanted to ask why you think that struggled to pass last year.
For me?
Why do you think the Billionaire Tax Act didn't pass last year?
Billionaires have a lot of friends. They got a lot of lobbyists. And they all said, oh my goodness, Western civilization is going to end if we have to pay some taxes. But I think we're going to get it passed. And there's a recent article written in a publication called The American Prospect, and they went through sort of blow by blow how some of these policies took several years to accomplish. We will get that done.
It's exciting. Joe, you want to move on into some of your next questions?
Yeah, sure thing. So we just talked a little bit about climate change and the recent legislation that you introduced, but, you know, some people might think that, you know, this is too much. You know, we might be not really taking these actions at a detriment to the economy, and there's also some people that are like, we're not doing enough. You know, this is our shared future. And where do you fall there? Do you think that recent law that passed...
This bill is a very strong start. And it is in particular going to be a huge job creator for clean energy manufacturing, for batteries and storage and solar and wind. There are going to be a lot of jobs here. And they're going to be high-skill, high-wage jobs. And I think this is a strong start. It's obviously not everything that needs to be done. I'm focused also on increasing transmission capability, because you have renewable energy, you got to move it somewhere, and we're going to have to beef up transmission. But I think it's a very bold step in the right direction.
Very bold, but is there anything you were disappointed you think that we could have done?
The big thing I was very disappointed about was that we didn't get transmission capability, because that's an investment also along the lines you're talking about for young people, of speeding everything up. Solar, wind, and geothermal. You know, the big guys have been working the permit system for ages and ages. We got to get solar, wind, and geothermal projects approved and renewables, and that's what I'm putting my focus on with transmission.
Yeah, well, wonderful. So another topic, just shifting focus a bit, is education. So throughout the country, particularly in, you know, more conservative states, there's been this trend. State legislators are prohibiting topics about gender identity and sexual orientation to be discussed in schools, and going as far as to ban books. What are your thoughts on
this? I'm a strong opponent of banning books. And maybe it's in my DNA. My dad was a writer and an author. My mom was a librarian. We got books all over our DNA. And, you know, I think we're better as a country by having an ability to have a debate of knowledge and information widely shared. So I'm big funding, you know, I'm a big supporter of funding for libraries, for example. I think we also know that in a lot of instances, that's where young people go to get internet service. And I've been pushing hard to expand broadband. But lots of times, a library 1,000 feet away is kind of where students are sitting there doing their homework.
So these laws, banning books, you said you oppose them, but are you taking any actions? Can you take any actions?
To a great extent, it probably is more a state or a federal kind of law, but I can fund libraries, which is something I do, which is, again, a way to show that instead of banning knowledge, you're giving people a chance to get more of it.
Okay, thanks. Vinny, let's send it back to you.
One of the things that I think we'd love to hear about is your work in helping deal with student loan debt. You've talked a lot about working for the middle out, and student loan debt can be something that's really hard on some of our middle-class Americans.
Well, it's devastating. I mean, I was just reviewing some data today because of my work with the elderly. The number of seniors who've had student loan debt hanging over them for ages and ages. And now they're at the point when they're older, they're having their Social Security garnished. So this is just not right. Now, there are a couple things. First, education is one of the few things that hasn't lent itself to the marketplace. Very often, if the Congress increases, say, Pell Grants or something, tuition goes up by exactly that same amount. What a surprise. So the student doesn't get ahead. So I've proposed, and the government is moving towards this, what's called Know Before You Go, where you could get information about graduation rates and debts and job prospects and this kind of thing. And I think in terms of actual student debt today, probably the thing I want to do the most is tie payments to income. So if you're making, you know, big salary, you can be on a schedule that reflects that. But if you don't make much, you can't. And I've also been able to win support in the Senate for saying that if you're talking about a retirement package, what a student owes for their money on their debt counts as their portion of the retirement package, so they can also get some savings for retirement.
Thank you so much, Senator. These are definitely all topics that we all care so deeply about. But unfortunately, I'd love to spend so much more time with you on air, but we are just about out of time. And thank you so much for coming to KBPS with us. Vinny, anything you'd like to say today?
Oh, my goodness, golly. I can't believe we're out of time so soon. Feels like there's so much more to ask.
Hey, can I get an invitation to come back?
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Any day. Any day.
Done.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Senator Wyden. Vinny, thank you so much for being here. I'd like to thank the members.
To be continued.
Yes, to be continued. We'll be back another day.
It has been absolutely delightful having you on air.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Well, Vinny, what have we got coming up next for our listeners?
Coming up next is going to be John Denver with Take Me Home, Country Road. And hopefully one day we'll have you on air again, Senator Wyden.
I
want
to do it.
Up next, John Denver on KBPS.
Hi, I'm Vinny. My on-air partner for that interview was Joe. We had a lovely time interviewing Ron Wyden. This is something that we've been waiting for at this point for well over a year, and getting to do it finally was truly magical. We've had other politicians on air before, of course, such as Dan Ryan and AJ McCreary. Information about those interviews, which you can find on our website, by the way. But none had even half the history of Ron Wyden himself. Unfortunately, we didn't get to bite into all 25 years he's had in the Senate office. With us unable to ask the questions we wanted to about his policy for trans youth and his opinion on certain gun control bills that have passed recently. But nonetheless, it was an exciting time, and we hope to have him on the station again. It's important to acknowledge that since we had a senator on the air, or a Senate candidate on the air, rather, we also have to reach out to other Senate candidates as per the equal time rule. And we've done just that. We recently interviewed Dan Pugu, and we're waiting on responses from other Senate candidates. If you're out there listening right now and you're running the Senate, we'd love to have you on the air. That's all from me for now. Have a good day.
Hi, I am Kayvon from KBPS. We are excited about featuring new music and local music on Portland Radio Project. One of our classmates at Benson High School is a music producer, and he just dropped his first album this month. Yona is a local artist and producer here in Portland. Here is one of his new songs off the album called Horizon. I hope you enjoy. Play that, Yona. We'll be right back. Hey guys, we're here with Yona. You know, he recently just dropped an album, and I'm here to, you know, pick his brain about it. So, Yona,
yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the album?
The album is called Horizon. I kind of picked the name because it felt like all of it was very spacey and atmospheric. Essentially, it's all house. It's like just a house album. One of them is kind of bordering EDM, but yeah.
Okay, was there any particular, like, inspirations, you would say, for this?
No. I kind of just made everything, like, it was very out of the blue, and it was without any inspiration. I was just kind of, like, getting into my house music phase, and so I just had made a couple that I really, really liked and decided, like, hey, these aren't really even beats, these are, like, full tracks, so I might as well just release them. And I had a little 7-song album and just made a little, like, cover art on my phone that ended up actually looking pretty good. She's like a space image of, like, space, and then put text and filters and stuff, and it ended up looking fine. And so I just, like, released it out of the blue, not really putting any promo or anything into it. It's not really about getting it out there. It's just so that I have, like, my own music completely under my name that I released, rather than having only stuff under other artists that I produced on. That was kind of I just wanted myself alone, kind of out there a little bit. So, yeah.
That leads me to my next question. What's next for you? Is there any more albums coming out, mixtapes, anything like that?
I don't plan anything. I just kind of make music, and if I make, like, a full track that's not a beat that I really like, I do sometimes release. But yeah, it's most of the work I do is for artists, and I work with people, other producers and artists and stuff. I also do, like, audio engineering, so
would you happen to have a favorite track on the album?
Yes, I kind of ordered them in favorite to least favorite. The first one is definitely my favorite. Also, I think one of the best pieces of music I've made. It's called Horizon. I just called it the name of the album. And then the second one, my second favorite for sure. And third was also one of the best ones I ever made. The third one, I believe, I called Tequila. And yeah. So I just kind of ordered them from favorite to least favorite.
Okay, cool. Well, this is probably going to be my last question I have to ask. Can you tell us, like, where we can find this album?
Yeah, it's on every single platform. It's under my name, Yona Klatchko, as the artist name, and called Horizon, all platforms. So, yeah.
Okay, well, you heard it, folks. All platforms, Yona, Horizon. Go stream it right now. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for the interview, Kayvon, and for everyone listening, here is the title track of the album, Horizon.
Hi, my name is Oscar from KBPS AM 1450. Amine is a local Portland artist and a former KBPS and Benson student. He's a big artist that is also known in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and Korea. And this all started at Benson Polytechnic High School. Amine is now selling out arenas. This artist means so much to us, and make sure to go show some love at his show. Amine is now partnering up with the Oregon Symphony to do a one-night show only in Portland on November 9th. Here's an audio clip from his Instagram.
Hey, what's up? This is Amine. I want to invite you to a very, very, very special event. One night only in Portland, Oregon on November 9th. Me performing for the very first time with the Oregon Symphony. I hope to see you there. Tickets on sale now. How smooth.
Again, the show is on November 9th. The tickets are now on sale. Oh my God, that's my baby, Caroline, you divine, mighty fine, I'm really lit, it's looking like it's about time, ooh, Caroline, listen up, don't wanna hear about your horoscope or what the future holds, shut up and let's get gory, like a Tarantino movie, don't wanna talk it out, can we get out, cause we gon' be up all night, f*** a decaf, you see I'm a tall thug, yes I'm a giraffe, f*** it with the sticky icky, baby give me kitty kitty, killer, west side, boy you like 98 degrees and I'm 300, your feet running, I keep when I eat these beats, better boy get smart, don't wanna be my lane, I don't want you in my lane, you a lame, get smart, cause great scenes might be great, but I love your bloopers. Imperfects for the urgent. Baby, I want forever. Caroline, don't you see that? I want you to be mine. Bad thing. Finest. Thickest. Oh my God. That's my baby. Caroline, you divine. Mighty fine. Started really. Like a pro. Holy. I'm really lit, it's looking like it's about time. Ooh, Caroline, listen up. Don't wanna hear about your horoscope or what the future holds. Shut up and let's get gory, like a Tarantino movie. Don't wanna talk it out, can we f*** it out? Cause we gon' be up all night, f*** a decaf. You see I'm a tall thug, yes I'm a giraffe. If you bad freaky with the sticky icky, baby give me kitty kitty. Killer, west side. Boy, you like 98 degrees and I'm 300. Keep your feet running. I keep when I eat these beats. Better boy, get smart. Don't run up in my lane, I don't want you in my lane. You a lame, get swerved. Cause great scenes might be great, but I love your bloopers. Imperfects for the urgent. Baby, I want forever. Caroline, don't you see that?
Finally, someone is taking action. Mayor Ted Wheeler puts effort into banning homelessness street camping. Let's see what the students and staff of Benson Tech have to say.
So what's your thoughts about homelessness in Portland?
Honestly, it's a terrible thing. I wish there was some way that we can help. Obviously it's taking some time, but I think the process needs to be sped up, especially with us going into winter and them being out there in the cold. So hopefully they can come up with something that can get them into shelter or some type of permanent living at this point, because it's sad. I mean, I witnessed multiple winters of, you know, homelessness being outside, especially during the time when we had the snow period. Actually, a couple of them died during that time. So yeah. Whatever they're coming up with, they need to come up with fast and get it done right away.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on the mayor trying to ban homelessness on the street?
That's a sticky situation, in my opinion. But again, that comes back to the first question. They need to find a way to get them off the streets, get them into a stable home, and whether they need treatment or things like that, find the proper treatments as well. Then also even possibly reach out to family to see if they got family here nearby or whatever the case may be, to see if hopefully that they can take them in or something like that. But homelessness is definitely a big issue, and it's growing at this point. So I think every state needs to step up and step up fast because it's becoming a big problem. But yeah, that's the best I can give you.
All right, thank you. Yep. All right, who are we here with today?
Brooke Dukatema.
Nice. So what's your thoughts on homelessness in Portland?
I think that there is like a lot of homelessness in Portland.
Yeah, I think so too. So how do you feel about that?
You know, it's not nothing, but you know, it's like the question, why is there so many homeless people in Portland? You know what I'm saying?
Good. How about Ethiopia? Is there a lot compared to America?
Yeah.
Nice.
But they're mainly in the cities.
Oh, like I.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And there's like little kids there, and then they're just asking for, and then like you no one gives them anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Next question. Did you hear about what the mayor said, that he's going to ban homelessness on the streets of Portland?
I mean, I don't know if that's well in his power to do all that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if he has the power and capability to do any of that. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So how does that make you feel?
That just makes me confused a little.
Nice. All right, thank you for cooperating with our interview. I'm here with
Lasu,
and I had a couple questions for you. I want to know, what's your thoughts on homelessness in Portland, like when you're walking around and stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah, so how do you feel like whenever like you're like going to Montevilla, you see the homelessness outside? What do you think?
I feel bad for him.
You think it needs to stop?
Yeah,
it does. All right.
So my question is, did you hear about what the mayor said, saying he is going to ban homelessness on the streets of Portland?
I think it's good, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think that will really impact you, Lasu?
Yeah.
You think that will make a big change for Portland, Lasu?
Yes, it will.
All right. Thank you. Can you state your grade and your name?
My name is Lasu. I'm in the 10th grade.
All right. What's your thoughts on homelessness in Portland?
My thoughts on homelessness is that the mayor needs to do something about it. You can't just keep, like, it's literally a homeless camp right by Walmart next to the school. Pass by. That could be, like, a hazardish, like, because, all right, so, for instance, then people could try to come on the campus and, like, do harm to us, do harm to the students, and I don't think that's okay, you know? So I feel like the mayor and everybody that has responsibility for the city of Portland should do something about it, because that's not cool.
Facts. Did you hear about what the mayor said about trying to ban homelessness on the street?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is that they're finally doing something about it, and I'm kind of proud of it, because nobody wants to see anybody homeless. So I think he's doing a good job, you know?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our interview. This is Modi and Josh with KBPS.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Now through December 31st, PRP is part of Willamette Week Give Guide fundraising campaign, where donors can support their favorite nonprofits and get some awesome incentives in return. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm. and click the big red heart. Joe Anderson here, host of KBPS on PRP, reminding you that you're listening to KBPS on the Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School radio broadcasting students from AM 1450 and KBPS.AM, KBPS in Portland. On the Portland Radio Project, 99.1 in the heart of Portland on your FM dial, or on any computer at prp.fm. This is KBPS on PRP.
My name is Meriwether Stewart, and I will be talking about the reported Adderall shortage. The FDA announced a shortage of the stimulant known commonly as Adderall. This drug is commonly used in the treatment of ADHD, which some students have. This shortage of Adderall can affect and has been affecting those who depend on the drug to focus in their day-to-day lives. In an article by the Washington Post, several people who suffer from ADHD shared their thoughts on the public response to the shortage. One has been off their meds for months, and another is rationing their pills. People online have turned this into something of a joke when that's not the case. It's a real problem affecting real people. If you suffer from ADHD and are worried about refilling your prescription, talk with your doctor about possible solutions. I have an interview with a friend of mine who has ADHD to give him a chance to share his thoughts on the matter. So, how long have you been using ADHD medication?
Well, I've been using it since late elementary school, possibly early middle school.
How do they help?
Well, when I have my medication, I'm able to focus more. I haven't been sleeping in class, and it's a lot easier to learn with them.
Have you ever gone without your meds for an extended period of time?
Yeah, from freshman year to sophomore year.
How did not having the medication affect you?
Well, I wasn't able to focus well in class, so I failed algebra and had to take it in summer school.
Are you worried about what effect the shortage might have on your school life?
If there isn't a shortage and I'm not able to get my medication, I might fail class again.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, that, well, if people can't get their medication on time, they might not be able to focus easy in class, causing a drop in grades.
Thank you for your time. This has been Meriwether Stewart, and you're listening to the KBPS Hour.
Hello, Portland. I'm James, reporting in on KBPS One Hour Show. So today we're going to be talking about the Community Warehouse, a local nonprofit business based on helping people who are just getting back into new homes after struggling with houselessness, or people who are moving to America after maybe being refugees from war, like Ukrainian refugees. And I'm here with one of the people who's making all of this happen, the owner of one of the transport companies for the Community Warehouse, Lee.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great there, Lee. I just wanted to know, what kind of furniture do people need most for the Community Warehouse? What kind of furniture does the Community Warehouse need the most?
So the furniture that's requested most by people is couches, beds, mattresses, box springs, frames for the beds, dining tables, coffee tables, armchairs. They're the things that we could do with the most, because most people that we help, they don't have those things. And a lot of people that we do deliveries to, they're sleeping on air mattresses, or they're sitting on outdoor furniture that they just have. You know, they may have a chair or two, but some people just don't have things. So that's the things that we could do with the most. Is those items of furniture.
Cool. So how does your company help out the Community Warehouse?
So my company, what we do is we have a 16-foot box truck, and when people have gone to the Community Warehouse for their appointments, they select their furniture with their caseworker. And then myself and my coworker, we pick up the furniture from the warehouse and we deliver it to the people that need it to their address, and will place it into their living room or their bedrooms, whatever, depending on the item of furniture. And that's what we do. So we pick it up from the warehouse, we take it to the people that need it. And that's us.
So does your company ever need more drivers? Like, is there any shortage of workers?
We do actually at the moment. Yes, we're going to be expanding, so we're going to be getting a second truck soon. So yes, a driver and another helper would be great, just to assist with keeping up with demand for the people that need furniture.
So how do you think people can help out with Community Warehouse without having to, you know, donate furniture? Like, any other ways to help out?
Obviously donating furniture is the big thing. But if they could also do just some small amounts of monthly donations, small financial amounts, if they can go onto the Community Warehouse website, and there's various members of staff there that will help them, and you know, any amount, any so small, it all helps to place people back into normal living conditions. So yeah, any small donations would be greatly received.
That is just cool. And it's just really a great, you know, well, nonprofit doing an amazing service.
Yes. And they are the only one in Portland that does this. And yeah, they really do a fantastic job. The two warehouses that they have, one in Portland, one in Tualatin, and we cover as far wide as we can possibly go, and they really do an amazing job.
If people were maybe to want to become one of your drivers to help out more, and you know, to help out with delivering this furniture, How would they be able to join?
That's great. The best way would be if anybody is interested in being a driver or being a helper, if they could send me an email, that would be great. My email address for the business is lee.morell, that's morrell, lgellc@gmail.com.
That is just cool. Thank you for your time here, Lee.
No problems, James. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. I'm James here with AM 1450 KBPS on the Portland Project Radio 1 Hour Show.
Benson High School has not had a football team in years, and now we're hearing that the football will be turning back to Benson.
Hi, my name is Kimora, and I'm here with Mr. Riccardi. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
That's good. That's good. So I've been hearing that football is returning back. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited for the idea. I hope they're able to bring the program back. I think it'll make a huge difference in the culture of the school and just the overall climate.
And you were head coach, right?
No. I coached pretty much every capacity, but as head coach. The last time I was there, was the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator.
Oh, I thought you were the head coach this whole time. That's crazy. Okay, so would you still be coaching if it come back?
Nobody has approached me about it yet, but I would definitely be open to.
Yeah, so we don't know if it's for surely come back.
I know that Mr. Clark and Mr. Wilson have been working behind the scenes, and I think they have some alumni involved as well and trying to drum up interest. So I don't know where they are in that stage yet.
So if they were to, that's good. But like if they were to say that or ask you to be head coach, would you take on that opportunity?
I would have to check with my boss at home.
Right.
Obviously, and see. My youngest son is in he has one more year of youth football.
Nice.
And from what I've heard is that they won't bring Benson football back until we move back to the new old building, however you want to call that. So my youngest would be done with youth football at that point, which would kind of clear up my coaching schedule, I think.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Well, thank you. I am Kimora from KBBS. Thank you for listening.
My name is Vinny.
Oh, my name's Kayvon.
And we're here with the KBPS Hour. Kayvon is going to be doing some coaching for a student versus staff basketball game coming up. You want to tell us a little bit about that,
Kayvon? Yes, sir. I used to go to Fabian, and then the security guard of the school actually asked me to come back and, coach a little bit, organizing them up a little bit so, they're not just running out there looking a little crazy and out of control, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. How long have you been doing basketball for, Kayvon?
I've been playing basketball since I was about 3 years old, so basically all my life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What got you into it?
Honestly, my dad. Like, I used to hate basketball, funny enough. Like, I actually used to hate it. I could never get the ball to the rim. So I hate it. I would just go play kickball or run around the park or something. My dad would keep making me shoot. And then once I started making it, then I started to enjoy it. So the love just
felt good once you got it.
Exactly, yeah.
That's cool. So what do you think it's going to be like to go back to Fabian and teach some kids how to play basketball?
I'm really excited because, that was me for 3-4 years ago, So I'm really excited to see how all the younger kids, grew, and I want to see if they remember me at all.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so you were there.
I was there from kindergarten all the way up to I graduated from 8th grade,
Oh, Fabian's a K-8?
Yeah, it was a K-8, so yeah, I'm excited.
That's crazy. So you spent a long time at that school.
Yeah, through the ups and the downs. Even one point, like fourth and fifth grade, we were at Tubman for a rebuild, and then we came back for a new building, so yeah. I stayed through it all.
So you've been in two rebuilds now.
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
That's cool. What was it like going to Tubman?
I was a little kid. I don't really know anything, so
that's,
I didn't really care.
That's fair.
I didn't really know anything. So, I mean, it was a lot farther because I used to be able to walk to school, but once we moved out to Tubman, I had to get rides every day. So it was really tough for my parents. So
Oh, yeah, that's some stuff.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
So it is. So were you doing, like, is there some kind of basketball thing at Fabian that you were doing?
No, not really. I mean, most of my basketball experience in middle school came from playing AAU. Like, school, there wasn't really anything going on with school.
What's AAU?
It's, like, basically, like summer league, I want to say. Like, basically, you just go a whole bunch of tournaments, you know, all across the country, you know, play games, you know.
So have you, like, traveled across the country for that?
Yeah, I've been a lot of places, surprisingly. Yeah, I've been to Florida, Texas, Denver, California.
Oh, whoa.
Idaho, Utah.
You got a favorite place out of all those?
I have to say Vegas, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Between Vegas and California are the two. California's just really nice weather. It's a really nice place. Even though everything is expensive. In Vegas, I would never live there, but it's a very nice place to visit, if that makes sense.
All right, well, that was a great interview. It looks like we're out of time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm Vinny.
It's Kayvon.
And that was our little interview.
Hello. This is the first episode of Makai's Creation Corner. Here with you today is me, the host, Makai D.E., here to talk to you about characters, character arcs, and just the whole shebang. So, first off, let's start with what our amazing, glorious, and capitalistic monster, Google, thinks and defines a character as. It seems that by Google's understanding, a character is a person created for film, story, or play. Is that it? Well, that's a bit vague. I, personally, think that a character is a lot of things. They're the things that connect the world to the consumer, the thing that changes the story from monotonous to exciting. Characters serve a lot of different purposes. In their most simple form, I think that characters are the soul of any story. They're what makes most stories interesting and something we want to read. In more complex words, a character is a person created within a world so that we may experience that world through whatever that character experiences themselves. But even then, there are so many examples of characters in literature and in any other type of media that play with that idea, like unreliable narrators or shifting characterization. But now that we know just a bit more about what a character is, how do we use them? How do we write them? From the most complex to the most simple? Well, I think that depends mostly on, first, the story you're writing, and secondly, how you want to write it. If you're writing an adventurous story set in a fantasy land with complex lores and mysteries to discover, you, or I can assume, you'd like a character that can subtly explore those secrets whilst keeping the consumer engaged and not sounding like a dictionary or a thesaurus. But that doesn't necessarily answer that question completely, does it? I think an important thing to think about when making a character and when using a character is what they do in the story. And this can be done by looking at archetypes. But what is an archetype? What's more, let's call upon the amazing Google to tell us. Now, that's more like it. Google says that an archetype is a very typical example of a certain type of person or thing, the most watered-down version of something. But how does one use that? Well, let's think of some of the most common archetypes, like the parent and the child. We know, almost universally, what these characters might do because of these titles. This is what an archetype is. It is a name that tells the consumer that this is what the character does, this is what they are meant to do, this is their place in the story. This helps in building characters because it sets up almost a mold or a set of instructions that the writer can follow. But they are only instructions, and we don't know these characters well, because they are just archetypes. So let's add a bit more to them. Let's say that along with the first set of archetypes, parent and child, we add a second set of archetypes. Let's go with the hero, the villain, and the person in need of saving. Now that we have two quite contrasting archetypes set in, let's think of a way they can work together. Let's break it down. We have the parent and the child, or the parents in this case. So, I'll say that the child is our hero, one parent is the villain, and the other is the one who needs to be saved. Let's now add a bit more depth to each character. One way that I find works well when adding depth to characters is expanding on said archetypes with contrasting ideas, such as a hero who has fire powers is really mellow-mannered, or very calm. and or is afraid of fire. It adds a bit of humor to your writing and makes it a bit more complex. Now, moving back to it, let's say that our hero's name is Apple and is strong, brave, pretty, and has the power of flight. Now, onto the villain, who I will say is the mother. She'll be... let's say she enjoys the finer things in life, and does not, in fact, know that her daughter is the hero that she's fighting against. Now, onto the last member of the family. I think they'll be a teacher at a local school, and despite not being part of the main action, is quite aggressive and active. Let's also say that they have no clue that the rest of the family is living such an exciting life. Now, why did we do that? Because it fleshes out the characters. It gives us, the creator and the consumers, something to work with when thinking of our characters. It gives them details and personalities and makes them more interesting to follow. It makes them connect to people, to us, as people themselves. But what about other people's work? How can we easily break down other people's work to easily understand it? Well, again, archetypes. Let us look into the story and break it down into simpler terms. So, let's try it with an already pretty simple story, Little Red Riding Hood. Let's first split up the characters we have, which are Little Red, the wolf, Red's mother, grandmother, and the huntsman. One more than our little family, but that's all right. Now, how to break it down even more? The name of the story gives us a bit of a hint. As it is called Little Red Riding Hood, we can assume that our hero, or main character, but I'll get into that in a bit, is Little Red. But what about the others? Well, in the classic story, the wolf is the villain, and the granny is who Red is attempting to save. But what about the mom and hunter? Well, they introduce another aspect of characters and writing, the idea of a main character and side characters. These ones might be called side characters because, whilst they affect the story, we don't actually know much about them, nor do they stay in the story very long. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad for not having the complexities of, say, Little Red or the wolf. If our story was more focused on the mom instead of Red, we would quite simply have a different story. But either way, we now have broken down the story with our archetypes as well as the main and side characters, meaning that we can, even if we've never actually heard the story before, understand what might happen. In conclusion, a character is a person that is used to connect the story and cause change. As well as the consumer's window into the world, an archetype is a watered-down character that can be used to easily break down stories to be more easily understood. But, as with most anything, this is subjective, and I'll be going into a lot more depth in later episodes about things such as harmful archetypes and stereotypes, and how these archetypes can affect how we, as the consumers, think. This has been Makai on Makai's Creation Corner. Makai signing off.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Now through December 31st, PRP is part of Willamette Week Give Guide fundraising campaign, where donors can support their favorite nonprofits and get some awesome incentives in return. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn at the communications and broadcast industry, streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland, on the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. This has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.